Evening, everyone. It's really so good and so important to see this room filled with so many of us understanding how important it is to be here tonight. I want to echo the words of Rabbi Trump last night, who said, "This is our time, our turn to report to duty." It's 8 o'clock. Here we are reporting to duty. It's hard to imagine any of us in this room do not know somebody in our own families or somebody we know who has not been called up and is serving right now in the IDF. And if we were in Eretz Yisrael right now, I know that every single one of us would be on the front lines handing out food, water bottles, being on the roads, waving flags, and being mechazek every soldier that's headed there. But here we are right now, very far away, and this is our call to duty. Every night, to be here, to say Tehillim, to daven together, to hear words of chizik together. This is what it is that we need to do. Every night this week, a different shul. Last night, Young Israel of Woodmere. Tonight, we are here. Tomorrow night, at Beth Shalom, down the block. Different speakers, that we come together as a community and do that which we need to do to be mechazik ourselves and be mechazik the soldiers and the citizens of Eretz Yisrael. Tonight we have the great privilege of hearing from my dear friend and chavrusa, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz of the Beis Knesset of North Woodmere. And without any further ado, it's a big privilege to hear words of chizik from him.
Rabbi Trump, the Mar Da'asra, the Rabbanim, and Kala Kala Kadosh Hazeh. This is billed as Divrei Chizik, but I feel that in order to be Mechazik others, one needs to be Chazak. One themselves needs to be strong, and I have to tell you, I do not feel strong, nor do I think I want to feel strong. I feel very broken, and I think that's how I want to feel. So instead of Divrei Chizik, let's change it just a little bit. Let's share Divrei Regesh, to feel something together, to have the comfort of feeling something in a group of Jews, of holy Jewish people, connecting to Am Yisrael, connecting to Klal Yisrael, connecting to Eretz Yisrael. Now there's this duality of this entire event. The idea that it happened on Simchas Torah in a time of such great celebration, in a time where the Avodas Hayom was to experience Simcha, and yet at the same time we were experiencing such a profound sense of Avelus that hasn't let up for even a moment since then. I think that's representative of perhaps what we are supposed to feel. Because while we feel broken, we also feel very proud of Eretz Yisrael, very proud of Achenu B'nai Yisrael. We're so, so broken by the families that have been torn apart. And we're so proud of the brave young people who are going to fight for us. We are so, so broken by the gruesome horror. And we're so proud of the spirit of giving and civic responsibility and volunteerism in all sectors of Israeli society and American Jewish society. We're so broken by the people, young people, who are being thrust in harm's way, who are running into harm's way. 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 members of a single family. And we're so proud of the tefilos and ma'asim tovim of Am Yisrael. Rav Meir Tversky once commented that the Rambam has a famous doctrine of the golden mean. Rav Tversky pointed out that we often misunderstand that doctrine of the golden mean. We think the Rambam means that you shouldn't be too much of this or too much of that. You should be somewhere in the middle. You should be part of about everything. Don't be too excitable. Don't get too emotional. But don't be like a rock who's not emotional at all. Just be somewhere in the middle about everything. Rav Tversky suggested that that's not at all what the Rambam is saying. He has rayas to it. We're not going to get into them right now. So what the Rambam is actually saying is that a Jewish person has to simultaneously incorporate both extremes into his personality. That at once a person has to feel extremely emotional about those things that are worth getting emotional about. And yet at the very same time, extremely unmoved by those things that should not move us, that should not affect us. If someone insults you in some minor way, they didn't give you the proper cover that you wanted or something like, you're not supposed to be mildly insulted. You shouldn't feel it at all, as if nothing happened. when we witness the tzaros of Achenu B'nai Yisrael, we should feel it strongly, powerfully. Rav Yisrael Reisman once said that when going through an Eis Tzara, he said that Rav Palm told him this when he had cancer in his late 30s, when Rabbi Reisman was in his late 30s, he had cancer in his leg. He had 7 kids under bar mitzvah. And Rav Palm told him that you have no idea where this road is going to end. You have no idea what the conclusion of this story is going to be. You have no control over what the conclusion of the story is going to be. You have no control of how long it's going to take and how challenging the road is going to be. But there's one thing that you control. You control how you behave while all of this is happening. During the Eis Tzara, while it's still ongoing, you control whether afterwards you're going to be proud of your behavior or you're not going to be proud of your behavior. Whether you're going to look back in years from now and say, you know, whatever happened, I handled that appropriately. I came and I davened and I buckled down on chesed and avas Yisrael and Torah and tefillah. Or are you going to say, I was just on this endless stream of consuming media and Rahman al-Hitzlan videos that no eyes should ever see? That's what we control. I would suggest that while it's obvious to us that tefillah, enhanced tefillah, increased tefillah, whether it's Avinu Malkeinu, for those shuls that say Avinu Malkeinu now, whether it's the extra kapitel of Tehillim, which I'm pretty certain every shul is doing, whether it's coming together tonight with this enormous crowd, that's obviously a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's obviously an obligation mid'oraisa to do at an Eis Tzara. But I would suggest that there's another obligation. There should be something that stays with us also. Something concrete, something permanent, something that in 20 years from now, we're going to look back and say, oh, that hanhaga tova, that hakpada that I have to stay in shul 5 minutes for Tosefa Shabbos after Marav Matzai Shabbos, that hanhaga that I have, the hakpada to do Shnayim Mikra with Rashi, that little thing that I do, that little thing that I picked up, that was Simchas Torah Tavshin Pei Dalet. When it comes to Tavshin Sadi Dalet, we'll always be able to look back and say, yeah, Simchas Torah Tavshin Pei Dalet, that changed me with something real and something concrete. And we all know people in Eretz Yisrael, many of us have, we all have family, friends, acquaintances, whose sons and brothers have been called into service. Part of our avoda is to also make sure that we're constantly, constantly reaching out to offer chizuk. People appreciate it. Just think every day about another 3, 4, 5 people that you know in Eretz Yisrael. Send a text that says, I love you, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't think of anything else. They appreciate it. On the way here tonight from yeshiva, I was driving home a young man who learned in Hesder, and he served in the army, and he was in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot, and he was in his yeshiva when people started getting called back, and he knew it was only a matter of time till he was going to be called back into service as well. But he had a ticket home on Matzah Yantav, and he asked his rebbeim in yeshiva, should I go home? I'm just going to have to come back in another day. And as Rebbeim said, we all just dropped off our sons at the appropriate places. We said goodbye to them. We hugged them, we kissed them, we cried with them. You owe your parents that. And he came home to give his parents a goodbye kiss. And now he's going back to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow to serve. This is Klal Yisrael. This is something to be proud of, even in the midst of our tremendous grief and worry and concern. Moreinu Rav Shechter Shlita was once asked if it's worthwhile to follow the news in general. And he said that of course it's necessary to follow the news. First of all, you need to know what to daven for. Second of all, you're going to want to hear it secondhand when Mashiach comes? Won't you want to see the footage yourself when Mashiach comes? This is how he thinks. Both of those reasons resonate very strongly at this time. But having said that, we sometimes have a tendency to overconsume media for hours on end and to view, again, the most gruesome images. Generally speaking, that is not helpful. Oftentimes, it is extremely harmful. So one final suggestion. That is perhaps we can accept upon ourselves that for each bit of media that we consume, we should also do something. Learn a little Torah. Say a kapitel Tehillim before we move on to the next article, before we move on to the next video, the next report. If you can't tear yourself away from this topic, listen to the amazing Divrei Chizuk and Shiurim that are being offered all over the world. Re-listen to what Rav Weinberger said last night before you move on to the next thing. There should be some balance in our lives. So to review, what I would suggest is that we take something that we're going to take with us forever. We reach out to people in Eretz Yisrael on a daily basis, different people each day, and that we balance our media consumption with positive action, like this, coming together in tefillah. Chazal teach us that melchamos are eschalta d'geula. We should merit to see the words of the Nevi'im come to life as Hashem reveals His master plan in a way that we'll all be able to appreciate.